Now back to the City Current Radio Show, hosted by Jeremy Park.
Welcome back to the City Current Radio Show. I'm your host, Jeremy Park. We're honored to be joined by Ruth Ann Shelton. She's the Executive Director of Alzheimer's and Dementia Services of Memphis, Inc. How are you doing, Ruth Ann?
I'm doing just fine. How about you?
Doing well. So let's start with some background for the mission and purpose of Alzheimer's and Dementia Services of Memphis, Inc. So give us a little bit of history and then we'll dive into the fact that you're reopening and some good news.
Alzheimer's and Dementia Services started in 1983. There were five families who got together who all had loved ones with dementia and they needed some relief. So they started the day program. In the beginning, we were in a house by Lewis Senior Citizen Center on North Parkway. And then the city of Memphis built a center through Richard Hackett and it's up in Kennedy Park. And then in 2004, we bought property that used to be the old Holy Apostles Episcopal Church. And we renovated the building and have opened a second center. So our capacity between the two centers is right at 100 people a day.
And talk about kind of what a typical day is like. So walk us through the program.
The program, it's a social agency. We're not a medical facility, though we can help with, you know, if they need to take medicines or things like that while they're here. But the whole idea is to keep somebody with dementia using every ability for as long as possible. We're not the cure, but if we can slow down the slippery slope, then we've helped the families. Our mission is both to the person with the diagnosis and to the family that's just as much a victim of what's going on. And so we design our day to be meaningful. Our average age is 79 and, you know, they worked all their lives. So they need to have a meaningful day. And no one comes thinking they're coming to a day program. They come to work for us. They come to volunteer for us. They're doing church work. They've come to an activity center, a memory booster club, whatever it takes for them to feel comfortable spending the day with us. We do all different kinds of activities. We're looking at physical abilities, cognitive abilities, how they communicate with each other. And all of these things, often we use reminiscing, lots of music, exercise, games. A person may be forgetful. That doesn't mean they don't want to win. And well, so that spirit of competition still is there.
Yeah, and I love the fact that, like you're talking about, everything is very customizable and it's approached with love and care. And so when you talk about everyone coming in for a little different reason, but all of that is, like you said, to make sure that they feel like it's home, it's welcoming, it's exciting. And to your point, if it's competitive versus volunteerism, whatever it is, you're appealing to them to get them one, excited, but two, engaged so that their brain continues to function, their physical fitness, their health, their spiritual, like everything there is thriving. And once again, under this ethos of just love and care and compassion and empathy.
Well, and that's why we call those who come and spend the day with us our friends. They're not patients, they're not clients, they're our friends. And the people who care for them are best friends. And by doing all of those things during the day, we're actually helping the families too. Because when they use up energies, they sleep better at night, rather than getting up and roaming around the house or even out of the house. So this is a chance for caregivers to get relief during the day and also at nighttime.
Absolutely. Talk about, on your end, the effects of COVID-19, and now you're starting to reopen, which is exciting. So talk about the protocols obviously in place now to allow you to open up.
Well, and we actually were considered essential services, but we did make the decision to close on the 19th of March, and we'll be opening back up June 1st. The idea is, can we social distance in all these activities? And we can social distance with our friends. You know, we've set up our tables with chairs missing and our circles with chairs missing, and we can keep them socially distanced. What we can't do is have our staff be socially distanced from them. So that's why we've waited until phase two to be able to start things back up again. And it will be slow. We become very familiar to the friends.
Right.
And the fact that all of our staff will be wearing masks, you can lose that familiarity. But for safety, we're going to do it. We already wash hands like crazy, and we're going to continue to keep washing hands. We're hoping our friends will wear masks. You know, we're doing as many things that we can come up with. We actually have some training days for our staff where we're going to walk through a day of activities so we make sure that we have thought of every possible way to keep people safe, both the staff and the friends.
What's maybe one or two other things that you're doing on your end that are just a little different now?
Well, we are continuing, since we had started doing it before we closed, taking temperatures of everybody who walks in the building. If you have a fever, you don't get to come in. And then what we are going to do is take the temperature of our friends midday also, since that's often when fever starts to manifest itself. We are marking the ground where people can stand while they're waiting. We've got a COVID-19 screening tool to ask some questions about exposure and things that may have happened in their lives in the last 10 weeks.
Yeah.
Lots of things like that. Same way with the staff. You know,
well,
have they been tested?
Caregivers, like you said, that's an essential piece of this equation for you all. Talk about working with the caregivers and what that looks like.
Well, in a normal situation, we have 8 support groups a month at our 2 centers, and we always encourage families to come to support group. In the new scenario, we're going to actually look at Zoom and having support groups by computer or iPad and see if we can help, because we are keeping to a minimum who comes in the center who's not one of our friends or one of the families. We are continuing our Care Lines, which is our monthly newsletter. And during these past 10 weeks, we have sent activities to families for them to do at home so that the friends would stay engaged and still try to do activities appropriate for their level.
Give us an idea of some of the activities, especially for those who are dealing with parents who are aging and dementia and things along those lines. What are some activities or games that you recommend for caregivers and just family members to be able to do at home, to play at home, to go through?
There are so many. I will tell you that those who have been homemakers all of their lives often feel good about folding clothes, sorting socks, mixing up recipes. And those are things that families can encourage them to do. Now, I always caution a family member, if you ask your loved one to fold those towels, don't fuss if they're not folded the way you want them. You just take them in the other room and fold them the way you want them.
Right.
Because it makes the person, the friend, feel good about themselves that they're helping. I mean, you can have them go through the newspaper and look for coupons, though they're very scarce now, but they used to be. Play 52 pickup with a deck of cards. Sort nuts and bolts and screws if someone's been in construction all their lives. We always have a drawer that has lots of junk and stuff in it. Get them to sort them into a muffin pan. Same way with dry beans. Put the dry beans all together and then say, I want to make a navy bean soup. Can you pick them all out for me? But the big thing is thanking them for what they're doing because they want to help. Mm-hmm. And not criticizing how they do it.
Right.
The end result doesn't matter. It's the process that's the plus.
Yeah, that's a great point. How has your team kind of mentally been dealing with this? And how are they, you know, are they excited about opening back up? Talk about just the mental side of you and your team and holding up as a part of this process.
Well, the team itself, we've stayed in contact with our staff. The managers have been wonderful about that. And the team seems to be looking forward to coming back. And they've asked about different friends and have we heard from families and things like that. The managers have gone above and beyond because they've made sure that our birds have stayed fed and our fish have been fed and packages have been delivered and buying supplies so that we have everything we need when we open. I think we're ready for this phase to be over. But what's the new normal? We don't know.
Yeah.
You know, we just need to be flexible. And that's something that if you take care of somebody with dementia, you've learned that a long time ago, that flexibility is going to go a long way.
How can the public help? How can we help? Obviously, continuing to raise awareness for your programs and what you do, your efforts, but what are some ways that we can help, whether it's donations to support your efforts, in-kind, volunteerism? What are some ways that we can help now and once things normalize?
Well, now our donation well has absolutely dried up, so that would always be helpful. Our wish list always has items on it that you could drop off at the center. We love volunteers. Unfortunately, right now we can't accept volunteers, but when we can normalize a little bit more, we love for somebody to come and be a buddy to somebody who needs a little extra loving care that day.
When you look at dementia, Alzheimer's, what are some things, whether it's resources, places, obviously your website, I want you to mention that, but when a loved one is trying to figure out, does my mom, dad, grandmother, you know, are they dealing with this? Where do you recommend them to start looking for resources, to start kind of opening up the floodgates to figure out what should we do to make sure that we take good care of our loved ones?
I think the very first thing they need to do is talk with their primary care physician and see if they're at a level where medication may need to be had or changes in their ability to live by themselves. When I talk to families, I tell them about, of course, our website, which is adsmemphis.org, but also the AFA, the Alzheimer's Foundation of America. They have a phenomenal amount of information on their website, which is afa.org. The Alzheimer's Association has a lot, alz.org. There are tons of chat rooms and places where you can ask questions and then people give you their opinion. The big thing is we don't have to be separated in the disease. And the more the families see that this is not their loved one being stubborn or manipulative, but part of the disease process, and the more they see that other people are going through the same things, the easier it will be for them.
Yeah, and I think that's, to me, one of the biggest things is just, one, guiding people to the appropriate places to get the correct information, but then to your point, knowing that there are others who are dealing with this together and dealing with this at the same time. And so creating that support network where people can lean on each other and share what they're going through, share best practices, bits of advice and tips, all of that becomes helpful so that just like with COVID-19, we're in this together and we can get through it together by working together. Wrap up again and go ahead and mention website, phone number for those who want to learn more, but also too, who, you know, want to be able to look at you all for services and where that process starts.
Our website has a lot of information on it, including an application for our services. Calling us at 901-372-4585. One of us will talk with you, even if an adult day program is not appropriate, but to give you some ideas of where to go, because one place I didn't mention is the Aging Commission of the Mid-South, which is 222-4111. They have a phenomenal amount of resources locally that they're aware of that they can share.
Awesome.
And our website is adsmemphis.org.
Well, Ruth Ann Shelton, Executive Director of Alzheimer's and Dementia Services of Memphis, Inc., greatly appreciate all you and your team do. And thank you for coming on the show.
Well, and thank you very much for the invitation. We appreciate it. Stay safe.
This has been a presentation of the City Current Radio Show. To learn more, visit citycurrent.com or call 901-321-1020. Follow the conversation on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram using the handle or hashtag CityCurrent. And tune in each Sunday morning from 7 to 8 across the Cumulus Media Memphis Network.
Lipscomb & Pitts Insurance is proud to power the City Current Radio Show. Our mission at Lipscomb & Pitts Insurance is to protect your business, employees, and family while enriching and impacting our community. As the Mid-South's largest privately held insurance agency, Lipscomb & Pitts worked with over 200 different insurance providers offering commercial, employee benefits, and personal insurance. If you're looking for a relationship based on performance, call 321-1000 or visit lpinsurance.com.